Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, each and every one who are joining in with us this evening. We thank God, we bless God, and we praise God for each and every one of you who are joining in with us this evening. We would like to take this opportunity to welcome you to a special edition of Bible Study for Life. We are filling in for the ladies at the table of Let's Talk About It. We just thank and bless God for each and every one of them. We thank and bless God for what he is doing with them and through them. And we ask that you hold them up in prayer as we go on with this special edition this evening of Let's Talk About It. And we will be doing a Bible study for life. Amen. Amen and amen. Again, I thank and bless God for each and every one of you who are joining in with us this evening. I will be serving as your host for the next hour. I am Pastor Tolleen Daly, and again, I welcome everyone to this special edition of Let's Talk About It as we do a special edition of Bible Study for Life. Amen. So I want to welcome you to this, the 1,947th episode. We encourage you to please let your friends and family know that we are in Bible study right now on www.blogtalkradio.com/purposekingdom. Anyone who would like to listen in via the live stream or via the telephone can call 319-527-6091. Again, that number is 319-527-6091. And if you would like to speak with me live on the air, just simply hit the number one. Amen. I want you to know that it is time for us to dive into the word of the Lord. We are going to be continuing where we left off the other day. For those of you who may have been able to join us last Friday evening, we were on the air coming from the book of John. We were coming from the book of John, which is the fourth book in the New Testament, and we were coming from the 11th chapter. And I'm going to read to you the three key scriptures that we had given that day, and that was John 11, chapter 11, verse 14. Then Jesus became explicit, Lazarus died. The next verse that we were concentrating on as a key scripture was John chapter 11, verse 42. And Jesus was saying, I know you always do listen, but on account of this crowd standing here, I've spoken so that they might believe that you sent me. And our last key verse was John 11 and 45, which read, that was a turnaround for many of the Jews who were with Mary. They saw what Jesus did and believed in him. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading and the hearing of his word. Amen. And we are talking this evening or continuing our conversation this evening on the topic of Jesus, a dead man, and the people. Amen. The topic again is Jesus, a dead man, and the people. So I pray that you all have something that you can write with and write on as we continue in the Word of God in our Bible study this evening. We are going to have a quick word of prayer. We will then go over really quickly a quick recap to catch you up to where we are in our lesson for this evening, and then we are going to go forth from there. Amen. So we're going to start with a quick word of prayer. Father God, we come to you this evening blessing and praising your holy name. We thank you, Father God, for you and you alone are worth all the glory, the honor, and the praise. We come to you this evening, Father God, asking first and foremost as bad children before a good parent, Father, that you will forgive us of any sins we may have committed, whether they were through thought, deed, or action, knowingly or unknowingly, Father God, whether they were sins of omission or sins of commission. We ask, Father God, that you would cast them in the yonder sea of forgetfulness, that they would not rise up against us in that day of judgment. Then, God, we ask, for we know that you are our Jehovah Jireh, our provider. We ask that you meet the needs of your people this evening, Father God. I don't know where everyone may be listening in at. I don't know what everyone may be doing right now, Father God, but I do know that you are a God who is omnipotent, all-powerful, omniscient, all-knowing, and omnipresent in all places at one time. And I know, Father God, that by your might and your power, you can bring changes about in the lives of your people. Hallelujah, God. So, Father God, asking that you would move by your might and your power this evening on the needs of your people. Hallelujah, God. We ask, Father God, that you will show up this evening, Father God, as you never have before, as we continue with the lesson on Jesus, a dead man, and the people. Father, as I always do, I stand here before you in a place of surrender, asking that you will allow the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart to be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen, amen, and amen. Now, when we left off the last time, we were right there with Martha, has showed up in Judah, close to Jerusalem, where Mary, Martha, and Lazarus lived. And we were talking about Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And again, you can read all about it in the book of John, the 11th chapter. However, when we started off a couple of weeks ago, we talked about how Lazarus and Mary and Martha were close friends to Jesus. We spoke about how Lazarus had gotten sick. We had spoken about how when Jesus had first gotten word that Lazarus was sick, how he had stayed where he was for two more days before he went. And we even talked about some of the times in our lives where we feel like, you know, we know that we have a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ. We know that we have been saved, and there may have been times when we've called on the Lord to come and to move by his might and his power that he did not move at the time that we were asking him to. But we need you to understand that it was for a reason. Amen. It was for a reason that everything that we've gone through, that everything that has happened, that everything that you may have been going through, all of this was for a reason. Amen. So we are going to start again. I'm sorry, I'm going back through the notes to catch up to exactly where we had left off at, because I want to make sure that we get this word of God. Now, when Jesus arrives to the scene, we left Jesus standing close to Judea, and the people had ran up to meet him, and Martha had ran out to meet him and asked him, or basically said to him, Father, had you have been here, our brother would not be dead. Amen. Now, we're going to go back just a little bit to John, the 11th chapter, the 17th verse. And it says, when Jesus finally got there, he had found Lazarus already 4 days dead. Now, there's a significance to every detail that we see in the Bible, including the fact that Jesus showed up 4 days later. Amen. biblically, and I may have gone over this before, but we're going to start right here. Biblically, 4 is the number that signifies the perfect creation of God. It was on the fourth day that God completed the creation of what is called or what has been labeled as the material universe. You know, the sun, the moon, the stars, the earth. Number 4 also represents the completeness of God's revelation. Amen. It means that God doesn't work halfway. He will not suddenly disappear after helping you for a period of time. He will not take you halfway to a place and then leave you before he gets you to that place. But that he will, what I need us to remember is how he said it in his word, that he will never leave you nor forsake you, and that which he begun in you, he will see it through to its completion. Amen. The other significance of the number 4 for this particular story that we are going over is in the Jewish religion or faith, because the Jewish mysticisms teaches that a deceased person's spirit remains around the body for up to 3 days after death before departing. So for them, they believe that it could hang around for 3 days, but on the fourth day, it would be gone. So that if Jesus would have got there on day 1, 2, or 3, it would have appeared as if there was nothing miraculous in what had happened. But because he did not show up until day 4, their Jewish religious belief and teaching that the spirit hangs around the body and is therefore able to go back into the body, he took all of that argument away, showing up on day 4. It was also believed that on the fourth day that the spirit totally left and went to either Sheol, or what they used to call the bosom of Abraham, or it went to Hades. And there was no hope for life without a miracle. So because they taught that after the fourth day, the only hope for life would be a miracle by God, here comes Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Also by the fourth day, in the city of Israel, where they were located at in Jerusalem, it's a hot climate. So your body, because they did not at that time have embalming fluid and all of that to prevent the decay of the body would begin to decay. It would begin to decay rapidly, and it would begin to have a stench that would be overwhelming to anybody that came near it. So all of this was done for further proof that what was about to be done was nothing but God. Hallelujah, God. Now, before I go forth there, I have to stop, because somebody out there listening this evening is in a place, in a situation, hallelujah, God, where everybody has given up hope on them. Thank you, Jesus. They feel like that you could not make it. You've been in your situation too long. The situation has begun to decay you spiritually. The situation has begun to decay you emotionally. The situation has begun to decay you mentally. Hallelujah, God. Everyone has basically said, no, there's nothing else that can be done for this person. We might as well cast them aside and leave them alone, because that thing is a done deal. I mean, think about it. You don't get no more done than death. Hallelujah, God. But how many of you, and I know I'm slightly getting ahead of myself, but how many of you know that it's for the unbeliever, death is a finality, but for the believer, death is only a transition, hallelujah, into a different state of life. You take off the mortal and you begin to put on immortality. Now, I'm not talking about that immortal body that comes with Jesus Christ in the resurrection. I'm not talking about our resurrected body. I'm talking about when our soul or our breath goes back unto him who gave it, which is God, and our soul returns unto God if you are saved. For the word of God tells us to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Amen. Now, when you get down to the 37th verse, now we have Martha running up to meet with Jesus. Then Martha meets Jesus on his way into town because she had heard word that he was coming. More than likely, Martha had been asking people, if you see the Savior, please let me know. When you see the Messiah, please let me know. Well, you know, Lazarus, Jesus was Lazarus' boy. Jesus loved Lazarus. Remember when they sent word to him that Lazarus was sick, the exact words was him or the one whom you love. They were talking to Jesus. They basically said, Jesus, the one you love is sick. So when Martha was looking for Jesus' arrival, somebody out there today is looking for Jesus to arrive in their situation. Somebody has been calling and calling and calling, and they feel like God has not answered. But I'm here to let you know this evening that God has not only answered you, but God is standing by you. God is showing love for you. God is right there in the midst of all of what you are going through with you. Hallelujah, God. He is standing there with you. Hallelujah. You don't believe me? I know I said this before, but again, if you look all through history, hallelujah, God has never brought his people to anything and left them. He was always in it with them. Hallelujah, God. When he told Abraham to, I mean, not Abraham, when he told Noah to build the ark, the word of God tells us that God shut him into the ark, which means that God was with him. Hallelujah, God. When he told Abraham to sacrifice his son Isaac, we always talk about the great faith that Abraham had, but let's talk about some of the faith that Isaac had, because Isaac was not a little child when his father took him to sacrifice him unto God. He was not a 5-6-year-old little boy. At that particular time, Isaac should have been closer to his 20s or maybe even mid-20s. So when Isaac went up there and asked the question, Daddy, look, I see the wood, I see the fire, I see the knife, I see the rope, but what I don't see is the sacrifice that we are to offer. And his father said to him, don't worry, God will provide the sacrifice. Some of you have gone up to the mountain and you feel like you are the sacrifice, but I'm here to tell you, you are not the sacrifice. God is going to provide the sacrifice. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. God is not going to provide the sacrifice. He has already provided the sacrifice, which is his son, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, God. And that which you think you have to go through, I'm here to tell you, God is there to carry you through it. Because when Isaac allowed his father to tie him up and bound him, and Isaac helped his father, who was Abraham, was elderly at that time, lay him out on the altar. It was as Abraham was picking up the knife to make the sacrifice that the Lord sent the angel to hold his hand and said, over in the thicket or in the bush, depending on which version you're reading, it says you will see a ram, and that's what they ended up sacrificing. If you remember my favorite three boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace, God was right there with them. Hallelujah, God. I'm trying to get somebody to understand tonight that whatever it is you are going through, God is right there with you. Even for the believer who may be wrestling with or dealing with the fact that they are about to close their eyes for the last time on this side of Zion, God is still with them, and you are about to see how much so even in this verse. Now, when you get to verse 37, it says, now Martha met Jesus on his way into town because she had heard word of his coming. Amen. And Martha ran up and met up with Jesus. And when Martha ran up and met up with Jesus, the devil is a liar. The Bible verse wants to go away, but we are able to pull it up in another manner. So we thank and praise God that even in that trick, it shall not have the victory. Hallelujah, God. Because I want to tell you exactly how it's written in the word of God. Amen. So Martha is coming over, and she's heard that Jesus was in town, and she basically left her home. She left Mary where she was sitting. She left everybody that was with Mary where they were sitting, and she ran up and met up with Jesus. Amen. Wait a minute, I'm going right to that verse. I'm sorry, just bear with me for 1 second. Okay, it says, starting at the 20th verse, it says, then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Amen. That's the King James Version. But because I've been reading from the Message Version, it says, Martha heard Jesus was coming and went out to meet him. Mary remained in the house. The 21st verse says, Martha said, Master, if you'd been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Yet even now, I know that whatever you ask God, he will give you. Amen. We're going to stop right there just for 1 second, because I want to know who out there is listening in on us, that you are dealing with somewhat of a Martha state situation. Amen. You're sitting there and you know that you sent for God, you called for God, but you also know that he was not there. He was not there in the time frame in which you felt as though you needed him to be there. But now here he is showing up in your situation, and you feel like, oh, man, I done lost so much already. Like, God, I know you can do anything, but what can you do for me in this situation? Somebody might be about to get sentenced to a prison term, and you're sitting there saying, God, what can you do for me in this situation? Somebody's family is falling apart, and you're saying, God, what can you do for me in this situation? Hallelujah, God. So let's go and see what his words were to Martha. He said, your brother will be raised up. And Martha replied, I know that he will be raised up in the resurrection at the end of time. Sometimes people will come to give you a word from the Lord. Sometimes God will show up, because the truth of the matter is, if somebody showed up with a word for you from the Lord, then what's really happening is God is showing up and he's speaking to you. Sometimes we get what the messenger looks like, confused with who the message is from. Hallelujah, God. He said, your brother will live again, and we go right into that religious rhetoric that we're used to. Oh, I know I'll see him in that great getting up morning. I know at the end of time in the resurrection. And Jesus stopped and he said, no, wait a minute. I am the life in the resurrection. Hallelujah, God. He said, I am the resurrection in the life. You waiting to see what's going to happen in the last day, and I'm standing here telling you that the resurrection and the life is standing before you. Hallelujah. Somebody should be shouting right there. You waiting to see how the situation is going to turn out. And Jesus is saying, honey, I'm right here with you. You already got the victory. It makes me think when the songwriter wrote the song, don't wait till the battle is over. Just shout now, because you know in the end you are going to win. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And then after this conversation that he has with Martha, then at about a little further down, Mary shows up, and Mary basically has the same conversation. He basically looks and says, Master, if you had only been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Now, I'm going to skip past the part where it talks about Jesus weeping, because that would take us to another situation. But I will talk about Jesus weeping on this aspect of it. We're not going deep into it, but just the overcoat of him weeping. Have you ever been somewhere when you are looking around at the situation and your heart begins to melt, not because of what the people are doing, but because of what the people are believing? Hallelujah, God. Sometimes, especially if you're saved, living in the city of Philadelphia with all of the violence that has been going on, all of the shootings and the criminal violence, the thefts, the fires, just everything that has been going on, and you feel like you have been sitting there and you're like, Jesus, Where have you been? Have you ever looked at it and you're listening to the people screaming, Jesus, where have you been? And you know that Jesus is right there, but the problem isn't that Jesus is not right there. The problem is that the people will not come to Jesus. He's standing right there in the midst of them. They screaming, Jesus, 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 but nobody wants to turn around unto Jesus. The scripture tells us, when my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves, that's the first thing we got to do. Mary and Martha, although they were hurting and grieving, when they ran up to the master, even in their hurt, even in their address, they still recognized that they had to humble themselves before the Messiah, before the Savior, before the Christ, before the God-man. Hallelujah, God. I dare somebody out there this evening to get to a place of humility, to get to a place of humbleness, to be willing to stand on firm foundation of Jesus Christ and just be humble in your situation and let God show up and show out like he always does. Hallelujah, God. So Jesus begun to weep because of the disbelief in the hearts of the people. And here's the funny part. Not just because of the disbelief of the non-believers, but to a degree, some of the lack of belief in believers. Hallelujah. If you read the first few verses up at the first chapter, when Jesus first decides to leave to come to Lazarus, he says to them, to the disciples, when he told them they had to go after he had just basically said, listen, y'all, I tried to tell y'all nicely, y'all not getting it. Lazarus is dead, but I'm going to go get him. And he basically said, and I'm glad I wasn't there when his sickness took him out of here, because this gives you another chance to have faith. This gives you a new reason for your faith. This gives you a new reason to believe. How many of you ever been out there? You know God is who he is. You know Jesus is who he is. You know the things and the testimonies that you've heard talk that he has done, and then all of a sudden he shows up in some way, shape, or form that is new for you, and it gives you a new way to believe, a new reason for belief, a new season for belief. Hallelujah, God. That, you know, okay, I'm going to share this one with you. We always talk about prayer and how prayer changes things, and I'm going to share this, and then I'm going to get back into our lesson. We're talking about new reasons to believe. I was driving earlier, a few days ago, I was driving through a storm, and the storm was coming down so bad in the direction that the wind had the rain was blowing directly in the direction of the car, to the point that it looked like sheets of water was coming down. Even on the highest setting, the windshield wiper wasn't doing much to help me be able to see clearly in that type of weather. And not just me, but all the traffic. The difference is, I don't know what other people were doing in their cars, but I called my prayer partner. And when I got him on the phone, which for those who don't know is my fiance, I called Evangelist Todd and I said, hey, I'm calling you so we can pray, because I need to focus, but you need to pray, because I can't see out this windshield. Hallelujah, God. And he begun to pray. And when I say the prayer was all of 3 minutes. At the end of the prayer, the rain had stopped and I could see and made it all the way home. But not just then earlier today, I had to take someone up to work with a client. And as we were about to leave out of the door, it begun to pour down raining. And I still had to get my things together. And they came, they said, Miss Toy, I'm ready to go, but I just want to warn you, it's pouring down, raining outside. I don't know if you're going to be able to see in this. And I looked out the window. I said, don't worry. God knows I'm doing you a favor. My Father is going to make this clear up, and it's going to stay clear till I get back home. I need y'all to know, within 2 minutes of us walking out the door, not only did God make the rain stop, but the sun begun to shine. Hallelujah, God. Thank you, Jesus. And we made it home. Why am I sharing that story with you? Because for some people, it seems, oh, that's nothing. The rain was just a short storm. No, what I'm trying to get you to understand is not that it was the rain was a short storm. It was my faith in God. And now some of y'all can take it how you want to, but I ain't never said, oh, the rain going to stop before we walk out the door in Jesus Christ's name, because he know how his child is. He know as his daughter, I'm a punk with some things. I don't drive through storms. And he opened the door up for us, and the rain had stopped. The rain was gone. That's what was going on here today, because the people who believed did not believe enough to know that if Jesus showed up, no matter what the situation was, hallelujah, God, that situation was going to turn around. Hallelujah, God, that situation that they were worried about would be no more. I see that we have two callers on the line. I'm going to get to those callers in 1 second. I just want to finish this last piece of this thought up, and then we are going to move on. And then it said, Jesus finally said to them, show me where you laid him. In other words, you know what? I done heard your stories. I done listened to your complaints. I done watched the grief parade that's hanging around you. But now I just need you to show me where you laid it at. Show me where you laid him at so that I can go do what I've come here to do. Hallelujah, God. Tonight, Jesus is telling somebody to come the same. Come show me where you laid your situation at. Somebody's situation has caused their joy to die. And we know that the joy of the Lord is our strength. And Jesus is saying to you, come show me where you laid it at. We know that somebody's situation has caused their peace to die. They've lost their peace of mind. And Jesus is saying to you this evening, show me where you laid your peace at. He's saying to somebody out there who has lost their praise because of the heaviness of what they've been going through. And Jesus is saying to you this evening, show me where you laid your praise at. Show me where you laid your salvation at. Take me to the place you laid it to rest at so that we can begin to do a new thing in you. Hallelujah. Because it's at that place where you laid it at that your situation is going to turn around. Amen. It's at that place that you said, I give up my joy. I've given up my praise. I'm done with my peace of mind. I'm just in this battle to win. It's at that place that you say, God, this is where I laid it at, that he is going to turn your situation around. Hallelujah, God. Now, I want to take, we have the two callers that's on the line, so I'm going to take the first caller, and then we're going to get right back into our scripture after the two callers.
Praise the Lord. God knows that message had to be delivered, because I didn't get through until 12 minutes after, but keep doing what you're doing, Pastor. Wonderful, wonderful message. God is in control.
Hallelujah, God. Hallelujah, God. Thank you so much, everybody. And that's Sister Janice. Listen, y'all, this is a part of the team that's supposed to be at the table tonight. But God wanted to, like she said, God wanted this word to come out tonight. Thank you so much, my sister. We have another caller on the line. I'm going to bring that caller on, and then we're going to dive back into the word. Praise the Lord. You're live on the air.
Well, praise the Lord. What up, what up, what up? How are you?
What up, what up, what up?
This is the other half of the table.
Yes. Everybody, this is Sister Amy.
All I got to say is don't wait till the battle is over. Shout now. Because you know in the end, you're going to win. I said, if that was not the word that I needed to hear right now, so I have to kudos on what Sister Janice just said. All of the reasons why we could not connect, it was all because this was the word that needed to be heard today. We have so much in the world that we could talk about, but it's something about talking about what you think that you think that you know. And when you know something that you don't know, but you know it because of what it was said. My God,
yes, Lord.
My God, my God, that's all I can say. I want to say thank you. I want to say thank you. Keep going, because I am listening. I am learning. But at the same token, someone out there is listening tonight, and I know that there is a question in their mind of why. Why does it look like this? Why is it like
oh, and
this?
I'm glad you. We're going to get to that
Look, go on and get into that thing, because I'm just sitting here listening like, wow, this is such a right now word. But that's also another thing that we just heard you read, because what we don't understand about what God is doing is that it's already been done. And because it's already been done, the things that we're going through, we're going through them, but they have already been written. So therefore, the outcome is supposed to be what it should be, but we have to be able to be in the place and the position to be prepared to turn that into what God has manifested it for. Because there's the only reason why you're in it is so that you can really go through. So I just wanted to say that. Go on, keep pushing. But yeah, touch on that why. Because I'm sure there's people out there right now trying to figure out why.
Amen. And we're going to be there in 1 second. Thank you so much. That was Sister Adrian, Misunderstanding Allen, and Mother Janice Hudson, the two women of the table. I love both of those, my sisters in Christ. I just bless, and they're more than just my sister in Christ. I love this part. They're my sister friends. Hallelujah. I can call them whenever I need them. They can call me whenever they need me. And we just encourage one another in the Lord. Amen. But now let's get back into this word. He said to them to take me to the place where you laid it. And I'm looking at the time, so I'm going to summarize some of the verses, but not the lesson. Amen. We're going to jump down to the 39th verse. After he said to them, take me to the place where you laid them, he then gave the order. In the 39th verse, Jesus said, remove the stone. The sister of the dead man, Martha, said, Master, by this time there's a stench. He's been dead for days. Hallelujah, God. Now that part is significant in itself. I'm going to start with Martha, and then we're going to jump into what Jesus told them to do. How many people have somebody around them? They're saved. They're a believer. They're with you in your walk. They're with you in your prayer life. They're with you in every step and situation along the way. But then when Jesus gives the order, they go, wait a minute, we can't do that. We can't let them in. They got too many tattoos. We can't let them in. They got too many piercings. We can't let them in. Their skirts are too high. We can't let him in. His pants hang down too low. We can't let him in because he's not sure if he's a he or a she. We can't let her in because she's not sure if it's a she or a he. You know, how many times have we decided that we're not going to remove the stone that Jesus told us to remove? For whatever the reason may be. However, the order was given, the second I said, remove the stone. So now in taking away the stone, you have to understand what is being allowed to happen. Two things. One, all of the outsiders can see exactly what it looks like in the grave. Hallelujah, God. They can see that Lazarus is actually still wrapped up in bed. They can smell the stench of death from his coming out of the grave, from his decaying body. But the stone was also moved away so that that which was laid to rest can come forth. Hallelujah, God. It says that not only was it done so that the people could see that truly there is and was a body laying in the grave. Not only so they could see it, but they could smell that the body had begun its deterioration. It begun to decay, and therefore it was truly dead. It is a good step towards the raising of a soul to spiritual life when the stone can be taken away, when prejudices can be removed and gotten over, in ways made for the word to hit the hallelujah, that it may do its work there and can say what it has to say. Hallelujah, God. Thank you, Jesus. So he's saying to you that for some of us, we've taken Jesus to where we've laid our peace down, where we laid our salvation down, where we've laid our praise down, where we've laid our joy down. But we're having a hard time moving the stone away because we feel like it's been dead too long. It must have a stench to it now. It's not going to sound like it used to sound. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to stop right there. What I want you to know, though, is that anything that has come in counter with Jesus Christ is never going to be like it was before it came into an encounter with him. Hallelujah, God. We're going to keep going. We're going to keep going. The 40th verse says, Jesus looked her in the eye and said, didn't I tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? Then in the 41st verse, he said to the others, go ahead and take the stone away. I want somebody this evening, wherever you're at, to just say to whoever's around you, even if you are just speaking to yourself, the stone must go away. Hallelujah. The stone must be moved. The stone must be released. Hallelujah, God. And we're continuing with the 41st verse. It says, then Jesus raised his eyes to heaven and prayed, Father, I'm grateful that you have listened to me. Hallelujah, God. Raymond, of course, see, here we go. The devil trying to get busy, but up, we got a backup plan. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And we are down at the 41st verse. He said, they removed the stone. Jesus raised his eyes to heaven and prayed, Father, I'm grateful that you have listened to me. In the 42nd verse, he says, I know you always do listen, but on account of this crowd standing here, I've spoken that they might believe that you sent me. I'm going to go here to the 43rd verse just so that we can get, then he shouted, Lazarus, come out. And he came out a cadaver wrapped from head to toe and with a handkerchief over his face. Jesus told them to unwrap him and let him loose. Now, when Sister Adrian came on, she said, I know there's a why in this situation. Hallelujah, God. What I want you to understand is when Martha was satisfied and had waived all her objections, then they proceeded. One is, it's not until you get to a place where you stop all of your objecting of what God is trying to do that he is able to proceed with what he plans to do in your life. If we stop telling God why it won't work and we allow him to work, we will see the glory of God. Hallelujah. We must let Christ take his own way and not prescribe but subscribe to what he is saying he wants to do. Hallelujah, God. They took away the stone, and this was all they could do. What I'm trying to get you to understand is all you can do in your situation is remove the stone. For some of us, the stone is hatred. For some of us, the stone is hurt feelings. For some of us, the stone is unforgiveness. For some of us, the stone is some type of addiction. For some of us, the stone is adultery. For some of us, the stone is backbiting. For some of us, the stone is homosexuality. For some of us, the stone might be gambling and lying. For some of us, the stone might be judgmental spirits. Whatever the stone may be, hallelujah, if you will remove the stone, then and only then can Christ give life back to that which you have laid to rest. Hallelujah. What man can do is but to prepare the way of the Lord, to fill the valleys and to level the hills, and as of here, to take the stone away. Hallelujah, God. But then we said they moved the stone and Jesus began to pray. And in Jesus beginning to pray, he starts with, Father, I know that you always listen to me. I know that you always hear me. He then says, but on account of the crowd standing here, or I like the way the King James Version says it, for the benefit of those standing by, for the benefit of those standing around, somebody getting ready to catch it right now, for the benefit of those who are around Mary, for the benefit of those who are around Martha, for the benefit of those who are around Jesus. Somebody getting ready to start shouting right here. See, what I need you to know is that Jesus, the dead man, and the people, the dead man was nothing, had nothing to do with him. Him dying had nothing to do with him, which brings me back to a question. It was all about the benefit of those who were standing around. Somebody going through something today, and they're trying to think, God, why do you have me going through this? Why do you have me going through this? Let me tell you the first reason why, because he can trust you to go through it. Hallelujah, God. He can trust you to go through it and still hold on to your faith in him. And here go another question. Is God able to trust you enough to let you die in him? Somebody right there. Does God trust you in your relationship with him enough to say, I'm going to go ahead and let her die. I'm going to raise her up out of this situation, but I'm going to let it take her totally out. I'm going to let it take him totally out. And as soon as it takes him totally out, for the benefit of everybody standing around, grieving over the loss, mourning over the loss, rejoicing over the loss, or just being newsy trying to see what type of loss took place, for the benefit of those standing around, I'm going to call your joy to come forth. I'm going to tell your praise to come forth. I'm going to tell your peace to come forth. I'm going to tell your salvation to come forth. Hallelujah, God. See, what you're going through really has nothing at all to do with you, but it has everything to do with those who are around you. It has everything to do with those who are looking at you. It has everything to do with those who can see you. Hallelujah, God. Thank you, Jesus. You're not going through this because God is punishing you. You are going through what you're going through because God is using you for the benefit of those who are standing around you so that they can see God's glory manifest through you in that situation through Christ Jesus. Why did he have to let it go so long? Why did he have to let it get so bad? Because if he showed up earlier, somebody who was trying to help you might have thought it was something they did. If he'd have showed up too soon, you might have thought it was something you did. If he'd have showed up too soon, you might have thought the government or the state helped you out with something. But he wanted you, not just you to know, but everybody connected around you to know. Honey, ain't nobody had nothing to do with this but God and God himself. Hallelujah, God. Because when God shows up, the situation changes. When God shows up, deliverance takes place. When God shows up, hallelujah, God, there is a significant shift in the atmosphere. And this is the part. Now, it said when Lazarus came out, he came out still wrapped in cadaver's clothes or dead man's clothes. He was still wrapped in a mummified situation with the cloth that they would wrap the bodies in during that time. He was still covered from head to toe. So the truth of the matter is Lazarus didn't really walk out as much as he hopped out. But when he got to the door, what was the first thing Jesus said? Take his grave clothes off that he may be free. Somebody this evening, God has called you into your freedom. He's saying wherever you are, wherever you are at, take the grave clothes off. What are the grave clothes? The grave clothes are whatever the situation was that caused you to lay your joy, your peace, your salvation, your healing, your whatever it is to rest. Hallelujah, God. So how do you take the grave clothes off? You just begin to praise him where you are. Praise him in the midst of the situation. Praise him while the grave clothes are even on. Yeah, is it going to be hard? Yes. It was hard for Lazarus to get up off of that thing other than the unctioning of the power of the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ. That's what made him get up. But he had to hop over to the opening of that grave site. And when he got there, he said, now that he's at the opening, take the grave clothes off. Now that you realize that your situation ain't about you, no matter how bad it hurts you, it might have even been about to kill you, but I need you to know it's not about you. It's about the benefit of those standing around you. So, yeah, your praise might have been the highest hallelujahs, but all you can get out is a thank you, Jesus. That's all right. Just begin to say thank you, Jesus. You're taking off the grave clothes. Hallelujah. Your grave clothes might be unforgiveness, so start running down the list and you hear, Father God, I forgive them. I forgive this person. I forgive that person. I forgive the other person. Ever your situation was and or is, you are able to get to a place today where you can stand tall and say that for God I live and for God I die. And this is nothing but the Lord in my life that has brought me out of my grave clothes. It's nothing but the Lord in my life that has called me out of the grave. Hallelujah. God, I wish I could preach this thing like I'm feeling it. It's nothing but Christ in my life that has turned me from a failure to success. Hallelujah, God. And understand, success ain't about how much money you got in the bank. Success is about how tight your relationship is with God. Hallelujah. You don't have to have money in your bank to be successful. You got to have a relationship with God. Once he becomes your father, you are successful because he owns the world and the fullness thereof. So if he owns the world and the fullness thereof and he is your father, you own the world and the fullness thereof. Hallelujah, God. If you are walking by faith and not by sight, and I mean faith the size of a grain of a mustard seed. Not that it's supposed to stay that small, but mustard seed faith is solid through and through. If you've ever seen a mustard seed shell, most shells, if you shake it, you can hear the pulp of the seed shaking around in the shell. But with a mustard seed shell, if you were to cut it in half, it's difficult to tell where the shell of the seed ends and the pulp of the mustard seed plant begins because it's solid through and through. One little seed can fill an entire valley once it's planted. Hallelujah, God. One seed can make an entire valley blossom with mustard seed in the next season. Hallelujah, God. If you got one seed that you are willing to plant by faith in your spiritual ground, one mustard seed faith, I guarantee you that when you look into your next season, you will have a valley full of mustard seed. Hallelujah. You will have that mustard seed faith that will tell you you don't have to go around the mountain. You can tell the mountain, in the name of Jesus, move out of my way. Hallelujah, God. When you have mustard seed faith, I mean solid through and through faith, you can look at a rainstorm and say, nope, God will make this out for I walk out the door because he knows how his child is. Ah, glory, hallelujah, God. I thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You got to be able to praise him in the midst of it. Praise him when he shows up. Then you got to have mustard seed faith like my three favorites, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the faith that will make you so say, oh, King Nebuchadnezzar, my God is good enough to deliver me out of your hands, but guess what? If he chooses not to, I'm still not going to bow down to you. If he lets me die in it, I die in it. I will not bow down to a false idol. Somebody needs to get that in their spirit today. I'll die in this thing before I bow down to something that goes against the love of God and the love of Jesus Christ. I'll die in this thing before I give up the saving knowledge and relationship that I have with Jesus Christ. I'll die in this thing. So why are you so willing to die? Because of what I said earlier, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I just came to talk to you this evening about Jesus, a dead man, and the people. And if I had to give you a subtopic for it all, the subtopic would be, it's not about you. Hallelujah, God. Father God, we thank you for the word this evening. We thank you for bringing the word forward. We thank you, Father God, for making a way for this word to be continued and the lesson to be finished this evening, Father God. Father God, now by faith, we call that you would use your Holy Spirit to hold the enemy at bay long enough that some lost soul could come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. We ask, Father God, that you will hold the enemy at bay long enough that some backslidden soul can come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, God. We thank you in advance for what you're doing. We thank you in advance for your saving power. Hallelujah, God. We thank you for the word, Father God. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, somebody out there listening this evening may be in a place where they're saying, you know what? I never had salvation to lay to rest. Or you might be in a situation where you say, I had salvation, but I stepped out of that a long time ago. Well, this opportunity of what we are doing right now is for each of you. It is called the call of salvation. It's when we give you an opportunity to come into the saving knowledge, a personal relationship with God through Christ Jesus. Hallelujah, God. Why do we keep saying a personal relationship with God through Christ Jesus? Because when he came into this world, Jesus said in his word, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes unto the Father except through me. Now, the significance for that in Jewish biblical time was that there were three doors that you had to go through in the temple in order to get to the holies of holies. The first door was called the way. And when you came through the door of the way, that let you into the courtyard of the sanctuary or the temple. The next door that you had to go through, and that's where the brazen altar and all was, where you first begin, you're in the way. You first begin to offer sacrifice so that you can go through the second door, which is the truth. Now, when you walked into the door of the truth, that's where they kept the altar with the bread on it and the wine and the candles were lit. And we're going to go through a training one day where we talk about all the significance of the sanctuary. And then the last door that you had to go through, which led you into the holies of holies, was called the life. Hallelujah, God. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the three doors that you have to go through to get to God. I am the three doors you have to go through to get into the Shekinah glory or the presence, the dwelling of God. Hallelujah. And what I love about them is if you choose to accept Jesus as your personal Savior, you go through all three doors at once. Hallelujah. It's like a transporter. If anybody's ever watched Star Trek, I used to love Star Trek, especially the Next Generation. And they would go into the transporter room, and they would go the first series. Everybody will beam them down, Scotty. Beam them up, Scotty. Beam them here, Scotty. And you get on this transporter pad, and it would send you to wherever you dematerialize in one place and rematerialize in another place. Well, when you get saved and you at that one time, you are dematerializing in this world through the transporter system of the way, the truth, and the life, and you are rematerializing in the holies of holies, the Shekinah glory, the presence of God. Hallelujah. And it's not something that is difficult to do. You do it simply by faith and repeating this prayer. Now, you don't have to say it exactly the way that I say it, but saying something close to it. You just say, Father God, recognizing him for who he is. Hallelujah. Father God, I come before you this evening agreeing with your word, hallelujah, that I'm a sinner and I need to be saved, hallelujah, that I have laid some things to rest in my life, hallelujah, God, and I'm calling on you to bring it back. I'm calling on you to raise it up in the name of Jesus. I come, Father God, accepting the gift of your son Jesus into my life. I ask him to forgive me of my sins. I ask him to begin to make me new in Jesus' name. Amen. And then once you say that prayer, you just tell somebody. The word of God says if you believe in your heart and confess out of your mouth, somebody, you don't have to wait until Sunday morning, Sabbath school, Bible study, prayer service. That's all about a church membership. We're talking about a personal relationship. You can call somebody on the phone and say, hey, I gave my life to Christ. You can go tell somebody that may be in your house, knock on your neighbor's door, say, hey, I gave my life to Christ this evening. If you're in an urban area, go stand outside and shout it at the top of your lungs, I gave my life to Christ this evening. However, according to God's word, as soon as you make that confession of faith out of your mouth, you are saved, and we welcome you, hallelujah, to the kingdom of God. Now, of course, we encourage you to find a Bible-believing, teaching, preaching sanctuary where you can grow in the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and heal from the trials and the tribulations of this world. But until then, bless God, that is why he has Purpose Kingdom Network here just for you. Please join us tomorrow evening for another broadcast of Purpose Kingdom Network. We will be broadcasting at 9 p.m. with One Touch Transformation. At 9 p.m. with One Touch Transformation and the host, Minister Arsenius Jackson, right here on www.blogtalkradio.com/Purpose Kingdom. We invite you to follow us on any of our social media pages. We are on Facebook and LinkedIn at Purpose Kingdom. We are on Instagram and Twitter at Purpose_Kingdom. We also invite you to check out our webpage, www.pknradio.com, www.pknradio.com. On this page, you can reach out and talk to the different hosts of Purpose Kingdom Network. You can also contact any one of us. You can let us know that you've given your life to Christ. And it also has a player where you are able to be blessed by listening to the love of God and the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ through gospel music 24 hours a day. Again, that is www.pknradio.com. For our Android listeners, you can download the app, PKN Radio. Go to Google Play and download PKN Radio. It will allow you to hear the word of God as well as gospel music 24 hours a day. No matter how you choose to do it, we just thank and bless God for your support. We thank and bless God for your love. We thank and bless God for your prayers. We thank and bless all of you for listening in with us this evening. We thank and bless God for the word that has gone forth. Again, please do not forget to join in with tomorrow evening for One Touch Transformation with host Minister Arsenius Jackson. Know that I love you with the love of Christ. I'm praying for each and every one of you. Please have a good, blessed evening on purpose in Jesus' name. God bless you and good night.
Jesus bless.
He raised me, I will not lose. He saved me, I will not lose. Set me free, I will not lose.
Never wanna see me down, I will not lose.
He saved me.